Welcome. Good morning, everyone. I know this is the kind of last session, but I'm following up with a great presentation. And I think the presentation which Bernie had done and Mary Beth has done is very much focused on a program base. This, what I'm presenting is on a large aggregate initiative statewide demonstration project. So, good morning. Welcome again. So, what I am planning to show or share with you is how we are using clinical data to show how we can do medical home facilitation in a medical home model. So, as a presenter, no financial relationships to disclose. Coming to patient-centered medical home, I know most of you heard about it, but I just want to see how many understand it. Can you raise your hand who knows something about patient-centered medical home? Oh, good. This is nice. So, as you know, it's an answer for most of the existing healthcare delivery system we have, which is at best provider-based. It's fragmented and not very efficient. So it's a solution for that, which is very much whole person oriented. It's comprehensive, it's coordinated, and it has an efficient care, and it's very much centered on clinical quality improvement as well as providing that kind of care management for the whole population. So we try to understand, like, what are the important components of patient-centered medical home in our initiative. One of the things we found was practice facilitation. There are so many studies that came out that talked about having some amount of facilitation helps, but we wanted to see how that affected in our demonstration project. So for our objective for the study was to see how a targeted practice facilitation can actually change the clinical improvement or clinical performance improvement in a statewide demonstration. So coming to the background, Massachusetts Patient-Centered Medical Home Initiative, it was a multi-payer statewide initiative. It was for 3 years. It ran from March of 2011 to March of 2014. We had around 46 participating practices. Some of those 10 participating practices also had pediatric care teams in them. They were interested in this. It actually was sponsored by our Massachusetts Medicaid program, and it was legally mandated under our Massachusetts healthcare law. You have no choice. You have to do it. But the two important components that included in this demonstration was some amount of payment reform was included in this one, and we also had technical assistance for all the practices. So the technical assistance that was provided to these practices included a 3-year learning collaborative. So they had a periodic learning sessions, they had webinars, and we also had some online learning courses. And they also had to submit their monthly data. And what we also did is review the practice data and provided them back with their performance level data. We supported the practices in obtaining their NCQA recognition. The other pillar for this whole the technical assistance was practice facilitation, where we actually provided people to support where the practice facilitators actually work one-on-one with the practices to work on their goals for patient-centered medical home initiative, the goals they have to do, and also track some progress, like where they are working on, what are the issues, and all those things. So these are the clinical quality measures. It's kind of a very busy slide. This is nice. I didn't know about that. We had around 22 measures, and you can see with the measure group, we had around chronic disease management, prevention and screening. We had some around care coordination, care management. These were very much focused on high-risk population. And we also had a measure on continuity of care, too. And as you look at these, most of these measures are process measures. So that's the distinction. We had around 5 outcome measures. Most of them were in adult diabetes component and one from the other adult target population. And here are the results. As you can see, in the three years of the initiative, 11 out of 22 measures showed a statistically significant improvement. Just remember, the things that showed improvement are process measures. Nothing outcome has shown any kind of change, at least. And if you look at this one, the other adult measures, This is the one which actually we started at a later time, like after almost a 1 year of the initiative start, because we wanted to kind of step up the measure so that practices at ease of reporting on them. You can see they haven't shown a big improvement. I mean, statistically, they're significant, but the amount of change is not much. We were hoping that they would improve, but the timeline we had was not that sufficient to see all the improvement. So using this data, we wanted to see, is there any way we can actually support our practices to better improve their clinical performance in some of those measures? So what we did is we looked at our underperforming practices, and those were the ones we targeted for this specific targeted facilitation. And what we did also is we focused on certain measures, and what also included an implementation of all the PCMH components in this one. The only problem was even the facilitation was provided through all the time period. This targeted facilitation was done on the year 3 of the intervention. What also we did is we customized the interventions. So basically, depending on what practice needs are, what are the focus. So we kind of customized those, and we basically developed, and actually this was delivered by our 3 practice facilitators during 6 months time period. Following this intervention, we actually assessed how the impact of the facilitation had on the clinical performance or the measure. So for looking at what are the ones we wanted to choose, we looked at an aggregate analysis of what we had done till that point of time, the last 2 years of data. We wanted to see what's going on. And we also talked to our practice facilitators who had one-on-one relationship with all these practices, so they knew what was happening at the practice level. And also, we also looked at the measures that were a little amenable for measurement. There are some things that can be moved along, you know, and some things that are easy to work on, because let's say some measures might be difficult to push in a year time period. So we focused in that perspective. So on aggregate analysis, we identified 5 of these measures. They had a trend towards improvement from baseline. These included screening for depression for adults, tobacco cessation counseling for adults who have been identified as smokers, and self-management goals for adult diabetics. And again, in the pediatric population, we picked use of appropriate medications for patients with persistent asthma. And for high-risk population, we wanted to focus on one measure, which is follow-up after hospital discharge. So for this, we actually looked at our used ANOVA to first identify who those practices are and what's their contribution to the aggregate, to just identify if they have some negative contribution and pick those practices. For the intervention piece, our facilitators had a wide array of tools. They used the lean. They used lean trainings, they used practice-wide assessments. They also looked at team-based care workflows at the clinical level, and some kind of online courses, root cause analysis, whatever fit with the kind of practice we were working. So those were the interventions they used. We also looked at for the variables we wanted to see, how is the change in the clinical performance across the time period. And the data sources we used was the monthly clinical data submission that was done. We also looked at the practice-wide assessments, and we actually interviewed our facilitators to see how things were going during this process. And what we found was interesting. We actually found 3 out of the 5 measures that we chose actually showed improvement. It's not a significant, it's a statistically significant improvement. I always distinguish that there is a statistical piece and there's a clinical piece. In a statistically piece, this is an improvement, but on a clinical end, we want to see this 51 going to 100%. I hope that happens, but sometimes that's not sure that's going to happen. But these two measures, if you look at these two measures, they actually had a very short timeline to show the improvement. There had been only 18 months of data to talk about. But if you look at this, we are thinking that there are some things that has happened that hasn't shown significant improvement in statistical terms, but on clinical basis, the practices looking at it, maybe that's not sufficient. We need to work more hard on those measures. And this is an example on a practice level run chart. We wanted to see how practices are doing. This is on the diabetes self-management goal. All it took is one single step of changing how they do their action plan and you can see it almost went up to 100%. So this is how a simple change at the practice level could have effect on this. The previous slide which I presented, this is on an aggregate, for all practices together on an aggregate level, at an initiative level, you're looking at these information. And this is how, at a practice level, this is how the information is coming through for them. Yes, it's an intervention. They did this jump here. They executed an action plan at their team, in their EMR system, and this is how it changed the whole process. Yes. In the EMR, they were collecting information on whether they're documenting their action plan for their diabetic patients. So they couldn't find a place where they were putting that properly. So they made a change and they said, this is the place we are going to include this information. And they started documenting for every adult diabetic patients. And simple change made the whole difference, you know. And what we learned is three lessons. One is at a practice level, we need to support and dial up their infrastructure and procedures and how they can use their clinical data. And it can be through dashboards, it can be other resources, or it can be simple training. One thing we did through this process was we always assessed the practices and provided them a monthly performance feedback that they actually used to develop next steps in their QI process. They were looking, they were looking at their data and seeing like, oh, this happened in this time period. Did we change? Did we outreach more patients? That's the reason our levels are not going up. Also looking at both the levels of information, seeing like, is something going on that we were not actually working on? So those were some of the questions they could answer on those data. The other thing is, Bernie said, like, you know, we need to talk about, you know, what we can provide some simple tools so that they can use some of this information to develop. And that is what it is, building the internal capacity for practice so that they can use their QI information, that existing data they can use. And this could be simple as training your practice staff, your providers, on QI methods. It's a simple thing that we can do. It's looking at data and saying, like, okay, this, I'm reading the chart in the right way or the wrong way, you know. It's simple, that kind of training. And also, most of us use EMR. Most of us know how to use our EMRs. And there is some kind of database, some kind of information. Why not we make it more functional? Why not make it functional for our QI purposes? Because there are some of the things that can be done on EMR that can be used. And one of the things we learned is also providing some specific technical assistance in disease registries. Also, some of the functional team-based care workflows. Those are the ones that actually showed a lot of change. And as any study, we made it more on a QI study so that we don't have any kind of a control group to look at it. And at the same time, we were doing this demonstration project, there were multiple interventions that were happening across the state. We had a Safety Net Medical Home Initiative. We had other initiatives. We had a Blue Cross Blue Shield AQC, Alternative Quality Contract, which also focused on some amount of payment reform. These were happening, so we were not sure whether the targeted facilitation caused the change or something else in the whole, let's say, society is making those changes. And the length of the time the intervention was there, the targeted facilitation for a year, we felt that was not sufficient to see the big change we wanted to see. In summary, what we found was, like, we had shown that this medical home can do change, can happen, and one is showing the 11 out of 22 measures clinical significant improvement. The most important piece is most of the improvement happened in the process measures or new measures. Sometimes there are really new measures, like care management is totally new for the practices. So they're learning, they're applying some of those lessons. So you could see that there had been no data before, and we are seeing the jump in the data. So that might be a significant reason. And some of them are newly documented, like self-management goal. Even though that was part of the discussion, they never knew where to document that information. So you're actually documenting some of those processes. And we also found that if you provide a targeted facilitation, which is kind of based on clinical data, you can actually make it more effective in changing where you want to implement the patient-centered medical home components, and actually that can promote achieving whatever the goals you have for practice as well as on an aggregate level for the initiative level. And in conclusions, we can do change. Change can happen. And what most important we need to do is supporting that QI infrastructure for the practices. And as usual, practice transformation takes long time. I always tell all my practices, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. We are here to serve and we are here to do these changes, and it has to happen in its time. And it has to happen slowly but steadily, and it takes long time to make these changes. It's not the practice change. It's not you're changing how you're providing care, but you're also changing your whole organizational behavior. So that takes time. And most importantly, I want to acknowledge all our practices that were part of this, 46 practices that were part of this initiative, but also our practice facilitator team who had been very effective in doing the job, and leadership on our Medicaid as well as our PCMHI staff. And any questions? Yes. 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 Actually, what I didn't present is there is a big evaluation component for this whole thing. We also, one of our evaluation questions is on the cost of care. So, as usual, with all the Medicaid programs, and we have all payers' claims data that's being a little delayed in the process. So we are looking at we have the baseline cost data. We are planning to look at what happened during this next couple of years, how much cost has changed. And one of those pieces would be focused on the outcome piece too. Yes. I think it's very interesting. When we were looking at data, we also looked at the top five performers and the bottom five performers. Some of the top five performers that we looked at, they actually had a very high change already done through some other. They were internally interested to do some of these changes. So when they started out, they had really high change. They were interested. So they had growth to go there. The bottom performers, they had some issues, and there are a lot of questions. It could be leadership, it could be our health information technology issues, it can be change in the staff team. A lot of those things have different components, but what we noticed in those five performers is like all these components had high rating on those things. We could see internally a lot of there are a lot of differences in the practices too. And we had almost 65% of our practices were safety net practices. So you can imagine that how difficult it is to make those changes. Yes. Actually, practices, we kind of gave them the measures and they pulled from their EMR systems. Yeah, they had to pull that data. And we had a data portal to report to for them to report on. And some of these measures, there's nothing on the EMR side to collect to. So actually what happened in this 3 years is they made the changes to the EMR, and now we are in the next iteration of this patient-centered medical home, which is focused on the integrated behavior health component. They're using some of the changes they made to the EMR to apply for that one. That next iteration of that actually pays for reporting. The first year is pay for reporting.
That's one of the biggest challenges.
Yes. We tried to match as much as possible with meaningful use, But then also then the problem came up with, like, let's say for high-risk population or hospital discharge. Some of these are not in any way collected at EMR because they have multiple components. For example, hospital discharge, if you're looking at, you need to get information from a hospital to your system. You need to follow back on those patients. I don't think there are much that capabilities at this point of time in the EMR. There are many of our practices which were linked with the hospital, so they could access their own hospital systems to pull this information. Even then, it was very difficult. Any other questions? In Massachusetts, it's the same story. The Medicaid program is actually going to the next iteration of the patient-centered medical home. It's called Primary Care Payment Reform Initiative. So where they're paying like per patient PMPM, shared savings piece is one of the pieces to that. But they're paying PMPM for each patient, for each practice. Nothing on the salaried kind of thing. Probably that would be the next phase of it. But this also includes the care coordination Bernie is talking about, but it also includes a global payment for doing some of those preventive stuff. So, yes.
There are integrated health systems. So
yes.
Interestingly, in our situation, our clinic has gone from about 30% uninsured to about 2% uninsured with Medicaid expansion. No, it's because we were able to get everybody insurance through the exchange of Medicaid. The population that we were serving, the vast majority is unqualified for Medicaid. And so all of a sudden, we now have the power that we sort of never had before. So we have all these patients that and because it's mostly through Medicaid expansion, we now have also airport insurance. And that's powerful. I mean, and if we could only actually get the data that you're talking about getting,
I think most of the states do have their all payers claims databases coming on board, and one of the biggest pieces is looking at how we can tie the cost with these different initiatives that are happening around different demonstration projects. And I think you should tap into your state resources, because that's going to be a big chunk of data you're talking about in patient care, in cost, anything you can think of, because a lot of these are also preventive care you're talking about. Are you reaching to this preventive care for doing not going, making them go into the emergency department? Can you do some of those preventive at your site, at your clinical site? So you should talk to your state group. yes, well, go ahead.
I'm interested in how easy you find it, and they find it, to get information about patients who are being
at this point, the data I'm reporting is most of our, we know who the our practices were reporting on their patients, so I've not much experience on patients who were out of our network or out of our practice sites kind of thing. Do you have any experience on that, Jen? I think the patient attribution is one of the difficult aspects, because if you're constantly in a place, you could do that, but if the patients are in your population group, your patients are moving across different states or regions, or that could be one of the difficult aspects. For in our case, we knew pretty much they belonged to that practice site, so we didn't have that problem. Go ahead. I think you're looking at long-term and short-term goals. Short-term goals is to save money in short-term, basically ER visits. But in long-term, you're talking about whether they can earn more than that $10,000, or they're getting education, and they're not falling into the criminal justice system. But the most important piece you're talking about, any kind of, in our initiative, we looked at the whole patient population. Any practice has their own, their patient population. We think 20% of their patient population would require some kind of care coordination or some amount of care management. It can go from care coordination to care management, depending on who that high-risk population is. So when we pulled out that kind of numbers, you don't want the care coordination people going into the care management. You want to bring the care management people into the care coordination, because you're thinking like, okay, care coordination is a short term where you're providing that care so that they can have a transition from care facility to care, or when they're going into hospitalization. Care management is for a high risk, let's say complex patients who need a wraparound services. They need all kinds of community resources that you can think of. But that's the 5%, your top 5% of your patient population that would need that kind of services. But at the end of the day, you're thinking short term change and make the improvements so that they're not going to the ER for every visit. But the long term is you're making changes in the family and probably in the child, so that will have a long term social impact. That's the only answer we know of. I wish we could do a 30-year study, but I don't think no one is going to fund that with the way the funding is going now. I mean, there are pockets of places like the new CMS is talking. The CMS is talking with new practice transformation initiatives. Laudabad is focused on this kind of medical home model, more on care coordination, care management kind of structures. But it's still in infancy. I mean, there is a lot of demonstration that happened, which talked about, you know, these show change, they show improvement. But how in long term this is going to be a standard, let's say like immunization piece, like everyone gets immunization, like that everyone gets a medical home, I'm not sure about that, because there are pockets of things happening. So we hope it works and it shows effectiveness and that everyone gets the care they need. At the end of the day, that's important, right? Any more questions? Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, sure. We basically, for. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you all.